All right, so we're gonna divide this into two parts. Each part will be, I guess, maybe about 20 minutes or so. Roughly 20 minutes, both about Yom HaTzmut, about important aspects of Yom HaTzmut. The first part is gonna be a little bit more halacha, and the second part will be a little bit more hashkafa level. The first question I wanted to talk about, this is, again, something that we are all familiar with, but it's good to review these kinds of things and just try to remind ourselves where things come from and that, you know, when the poskim were talking about these issues, they didn't just say, oh, yeah, it's fine. They actually discussed it, you know. They went through it. You know, Yom HaTzmut questions are wonderful and really amazing and new. And because of that, they're not always so simple to get through to the bottom line, whatever the bottom line might be. Now, we sort of see what the bottom lines are according to the different opinions, but it's good to go over some points from time to time. One of the big questions that comes up is, even if you assume that Yom HaTzmaut is a very important day and day to celebrate, which when in the religious Zionist community that we're a part of, that's pretty much a given assumption. The question is, how far do we go in relaxing the restrictions of Sfira? Meaning it happens to be, or maybe it's not quite that it happens to be, but it is the fact that Yom HaTzmaut, that Hei Iyar, or whatever day it falls out on, which is either a little before or a little after, come out smack in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer, and smack in the middle of the time that everybody agrees is Sfirat HaOmer restrictions, okay? Meaning there's different opinions about until Rosh Chodesh Iyar and after Lag BaOmer of what the different customs are, when you start, when you stop. But this period of time, starting basically maybe tonight or tomorrow night, through to Lag BaOmer, is everybody agrees that's part of the customs of restrictions of Sfira. So the question is, how do we deal with a day like Yom HaTzmaut, where, you know, obviously it's a very happy day for us. What do we do about these Sfira restrictions? What are the things that it affects? So there are a lot of them, but the main two or three are basically either haircuts or shaving specifically. And number two, probably even more so today, is music. And music, concerts, things like that. You go everywhere in Israel and they're all over the place. So to just work through the sugya first and just analyze whether it's really permissible, and if so, make sure we understand what the basis for it is. So at least if you're, you know, other people come to you and, you know, want to discuss it, or even for yourself, you should feel confident in what you're doing and understand why it is, rather than just saying, I went with the flow and I have no idea what it's based on. So obviously there's multiple opinions here, but the main opinion within the Dati Lumi community will be fleshed out in this tshuva here. I have a nice tshuva from B'mar HaBazak, which is the Kol in Eretz Chemda, where Rav Daniel works. And if you're familiar with these tshuvas, they have like a series. They're now to, I think, 8 volumes of B'mar HaBazak, which is Shelot Tshuva that they got from around the world. And they're on a lot of interesting topics. So this one is in Chelek Dalad, Tshuva Nun Gimel. The one afterwards in Nun Dalad is actually from Chicago, believe it or not. It's about making a Yom HaTzmaut party the day before Yom HaTzmaut, which is a different question. That already is going to be more problematic. And that, they say, also maybe is not so simple. The question that we're looking at is Nun Gimel, the one right beforehand, which is from Tennessee, from Memphis probably. I assume it's from one of the shlichim, the Israeli shlichim in Memphis, or maybe from the community. So I'll read you the Hebrew very quickly. Basically, I'll just summarize actually what it says. It says, among the different groups of people that are, you know, active in the Kehillah in Memphis, I assume it's Memphis, So basically there was a dispute, you know, what's new about Yom HaTzmaut. And basically we want to know what is the heter, assuming there's a heter, what is it based on to get haircuts or shave and listen to live music during celebrations on Yom HaTzmaut, despite the fact that it's Sfirat HaOmer. Okay. And then the second part of the question is, they also want to know, is it the same thing when the day is not the right day, meaning, which is now almost every year, where Hei Iyar is one day, and the day that we celebrate it is a different day. This year, Tav Shana Ein Zayin, Hei Iyar, I believe, is Sunday, and we celebrate it on Monday. We celebrate it on Tuesday for Chil Shabbos purposes. This is one of the later inventions, where not only for Yom HaTzmaut Chil Shabbos were they worried about, they were worried about Yom HaZikaron Chil Shabbos also. So if Yom HaZikaron starts on Motzei Shabbos, then of course that's going to involve a lot of Chil Shabbos for preparations and beginning of ceremonies and everything else. If Shabbos ends, you know, right around the area of 8 o'clock, so that's obvious that that's going to have a lot of Chil Shabbos beforehand. So they pushed everything over by a day. So did that change anything in terms of these halachos? So I'll just briefly read through with you this tshuva and some of the things that it's based on. And one of the other tshuvas, just maybe we'll read a paragraph or so from something a little bit different. I'm going to ask Amy if she's here.
Women's section. No,
yeah.
Whatever section you said, there was someone listening.
Posted on the women's group, but I said,
That's good. Thank you. Okay, so usually this is what the Mar HaZak says about this question of restrictions of sphira. So he says, I'm going to only read you parts of it. I'm going to read parts and summarize parts. He says, with the beginning of Medina Israel, so he says, most of the majority of Rabbanim in Israel said, Zeh ayom asah Hashem nagilu v'nismachal bo. And you should see in the establishment of the state of Israel a miracle that we have to thank Hashem for. In the footnote here, he points out, again, this is sort of, he runs through different things here, which each one of these could be a whole shir by itself, and we've spoken on some of these things before. Just, again, nice review. So he mentions here in one of Menachem Kasher's, the Torah Shlema, one of his works about this. So he actually has a whole list. I've seen this inside, actually. It's a list of like 200 Rabbanim that basically in the time of, you know, after the state of Israel was declared, so there was like 200 Rabbanim, you know, across the spectrum that all agreed that Yom HaTzmut was a day to celebrate. And he actually lists who they all are. It was like a whole cold cohort, basically, that they signed saying that we believe Yom HaTzmut is, you know, whatever it is, and it's worthwhile to celebrate. That was the day, of course, that they had an Israeli flag, you know, flying on top of Panovich Yeshiva. Again, things have changed, you know, for the better or for the worse. I guess it's really for both, in general. So he says most Rabbanim agreed with that at that point.
What year was that when they agreed?
1948, and within, you know, a few years within, yeah, but within a few years afterwards, meaning basically for the first, I don't know exactly how long it was for the first 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I don't know exactly, but for quite a bit of time at the beginning, many, many Rabbanim were on board basically with Yom HaTzmut, and slowly over time, that sort of changed. So he says, because of that, there's therefore a mitzvah to treat Heiyar as a day of celebration with everything that goes with that. So then he says, that there was many, many great people in Eretz Yisrael who basically had the custom of taking a haircut and shaving in honor of Yom HaTzmut, and to participate in celebrations to mark the day, including dancing and circles. V'lo rak hashmat muzika b'kli shir, and not just listening to music through instruments. I mean, basically, it's all the things. Some people shaved and took haircuts. Some people, you know, participated in dancing, and some people also participated in, you know, celebrations with live music. Okay, so then he says basically, he says where it's from. He doesn't give you all the background, but he says basically the Rishon Lezion Rav Harashi Yisrael Rav Yitzchak Nisim, which is one of the earlier Sfardi Rabbanim, he tirlit galeach lechor hayom. He permitted shaving in honor of the day. Bistamchu al poskim rabim, relying on many poskim, hamatirim lit galeach miasfira, that allow you to shave during the days of Sfira. Even for side reasons. Okay, this article from Yitzchak Nissim is in a book called Hilchot Yom HaTzmut B'Yom Yerushalayim, edited by Nachum Rakover. Unfortunately, it's been out of print for years now. I tried to get this book already like 20 years ago. I couldn't. Even 20 years ago, it was out of print. They have it in the Tarta Chaim Library, okay, in the bottom shelf in the Halacha section. It's down there. You can see it. It's a really, really helpful book. Really, really good. I have another sefer which I didn't bring. Another one that was written by somebody more recently in Karen Biavna, which goes through all the stuff also. But it's a different style. So here basically he has a few poskim in this article that Rav Nissim wrote in that book. Okay, that's where he's getting it from. Who basically say that when it comes to shaving during Sfira, you could be a little bit more lenient. Okay, including the Radbaz, the Chida, and Rav Yaakov Emden, who basically say, well, if you have a little bit of a mitzvah, you can shave during Sfira. If you have, you know, something else, some important reason, you can shave during Sfira. Basically what they're saying is that even though it's a custom, the custom is an important custom to keep, but if you have a good reason why you want to push it off, so you can push it off. The Chen Mekublanu, we also have received the tradition, Gami Pneya Gan Rav Tzvi, who cook, Shega'ar Mishalo Hitkalech Lekrat Yom HaTzmut, who basically, you know, rebuked people, he scolded people who did not shave upon Yom HaTzmut approaching, and he basically said, he quoted a pasuk, HaKarat Pneyam Antabam, that their recognition of their faces answered for them, which he interprets homiletically to mean that their faces show that they didn't celebrate Yom HaTzmut if they didn't shave. Okay, that's what he said. And they also have something here, he quotes from one of the Luach, the luachs, you know, the luachs for the, you know, for tefillah, in the name of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, she tirlis aderet hazakan lichod Yom HaTzmut. Who even in a luach, shana v'shana, so he also permitted shaving for Yom HaTzmut. Very, very interesting. Happens to be that the, you know, the poskim they quote here about shaving Yom HaTzmut is not so clear how accepted they are. I mean, yes, the chida and the yavetz and the radbaz, they do all, you know, say things about shaving during Yom HaTzmut, shaving in general during Sfira when necessary. But at the end of the day, if you look at the poskim and the Mishnah Berurah and the others, it's not so clear how much we rely on those poskim. They do say, and this is maybe one of the bigger ones, they do say that if you have a bris on during Sfira, mm-hmm. so the people that are involved in the bris, you know, the father of the baby and maybe the sandik and whatever, so they would be allowed to shave and to even maybe even cut their hair, but certainly to shave. Haircutting, by the way, I don't know if he mentions it here. He doesn't spell out, but there are some poskim that say haircutting is not as good. Because haircutting, how often do you get a haircut? Once mm-hmm. a month, once every other month. So you don't really need the haircut in order to be able to make you celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, because you could have just gotten a haircut like a week before that. It's not such a big deal. So that's already not so clear that you'd be allowed to automatically off the cuff take a haircut for Yom HaAtzmaut. But even if you say that, it could be if you need one, maybe you would be allowed to. And certainly for shaving, according to this approach, you would say maybe it's allowed because it's something which, at least for males, it's something which after a few days you already notice that you haven't shaved. All I was just going to say is that they, in the Mishnah Berurah and the others, they mentioned for having a bris and things like that, that maybe it would be permissible to shave because that's their day, their special day. So even if we don't necessarily, rely on the Yavetz and the Chidah and the Radbaz for shaving like every day during Sfira, it's not something which we automatically accept. But in this case, there are other sources also to rely on, which I'll get to one more in a second. I'm going to get to yet. You have a question?
I'm talking about shaving on Yom HaAtzmaut.
That's also a question. That's also a question. So some say that it's only on Yom HaAtzmaut itself because that is the day of celebration. And some say, and this is what I think where Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook held, that even right before the day, you could also shave. The same way that you would shave before a chag, right before, so in honor of the day. So here also, right before, you can shave. What do they say here? So I saw, I think it was Rav Malamed who mentions this in Pnina Halacha. He discusses this point also. He mentions the different sides. So these years where it's the day off, basically, where Yom HaAtzmaut, the real day of Heiyar is, let's say this year, is Monday, and we celebrate it on Tuesday. So one of the suggestions they give for shaving, for those who want to shave, is to shave like during Ben HaShemashot, like right before the beginning of the day, because it's still Heiyar officially, even though we observe the next day, but it's really the day of, it's sort of half that day, and it's also right before the next day, which is that night, so you sort of get it either way. Even if it's the wrong day, you still have, you have something to go back and forth on that. Anyway, the source that I think is the best one, I don't think he even mentions it here, but the best one that I say is the most convincing in my opinion, which he doesn't even mention here, but it's in Rav Yitzchak Nissim's article. He mentions it, and he doesn't mention it here. Basically, Rav Chaim Palagi, one of the Sfardi Rabbanim, I think he lived in Turkey, maybe, if I remember correctly. So he has a sefer called Mo'ela Kol Chai, very, very famous Rav El Mekaveh, the Sfardi Shul. He quotes Rav Palagi almost every day in his Bar Halacha after the Neitz Minyan. So he mentioned this point today, actually. The Neitz Minyan this morning, Rav El Mekaveh mentioned this, Rav Palagi. He mentioned this point exactly about the shaving. I'll tell you what else he said in a minute. So Rav Palagi actually had a case where they had a family or two families in wherever he was from, in Izmir, I think, who basically had a special family celebration because of a miracle that happened to their family on one of the days in Iyar during Sfirat HaOmer. And they asked him, can you shave on this day? And basically he says that because anytime you have a family celebration because of a miracle that happened, that's basically your Yom Tov. And he says because of that, you would be allowed to override any Sfirah restrictions such as shaving on that day. So that, in my mind, is the most direct source which tells you straight out that if you accept it and you accept the base, the import of Yom HaAtzmaut, that tells you straight out that their sphere restrictions would be overridden by a special day of a celebration if it's because of a miracle that happened. So
in other words, I mean, a modern-day mirror, a celebration is modeled right after that type of celebration, right?
Yeah. Presumably. Again, that's also...
Presumably,
there's a whole other, Right.
I remember, you may have given us your own this at one point.
Yeah.
But
basically, there's a whole 3-hour discussion whether Yom HaAtzmaut is really the same thing as a personal Yom Tov that they talk about in the poskim when they talk about Purim. And, so the question is maybe that's not really the same thing. But the bottom line is that today we basically accept that it is. I mean, we accept that if it's a holiday for the entire Jewish people, even though it only happened in Israel, even though maybe it's only a question for the descendants of the people, and here we weren't really there, and da-da-da-da-da. But the bottom line is, which we're not going to go into now, we know already there's many, many reasons why Yom HaAtzmaut impacts very significantly the entire Jewish people. And if that's the case, it makes sense, as we generally say, that everybody should be able to celebrate. And based on that, this should be relevant to everybody in terms of shaving. And the same thing would be true in terms of celebrations of music and music and dancing. Okay, same thing. So that's what he says here, basically, these poskim, that would permit it. Then he has the other point, where he says that, what about the fact that it's moved up by a day? Again, this is also on a whole other shir. I think this year I gave a different year, but I don't remember. The fact that they push it up to Thursday, which was that year, from Shabbos, but this year it's the other way. This year it's on Monday, and we're pushing it off to Tuesday because of Yom HaZikaron, not being, you know, Michal Shabbos after Shabbos, as we mentioned a little while ago. So he says, Rav Goren wrote a whole thing about that. And basically, again, this is also a famous idea, but just read it inside again. Rav Goren basically says that, he wrote two things, basically. He wrote that, number one, because originally the day that it was decreed, the time they made the holiday, they made it such that if it was on Shabbos or with a question of violation of Chil Shabbos, then you can push it off. That was already included in the original Takana of whatever they did of the Rabbanut. So then you can sort of say that every year that's perfectly fine to push it off. It's not like a new thing we're making up as a new thing. It was already included in the original idea of how to celebrate the day. He says it's not possible any other way, because we don't want to be Bechal Shabbos. That's obviously much more important. This is not possible any other way. This is how we should do it. That's what Rav Goren says. And that's basically been, you know, Rav Lamed talks about this also in Chinuch Halacha. It's basically been what's accepted in the religious Zionist community. And he points out also, Rav Goren has another point, that he says, Hanesai la'orech kol milchamara shichrur. The miracle was actually not just the day of Hey Yar, it was during the entire War of Independence, even though there was a lot of people that were injured and killed. But at the end of the day, the time that we actually really got our state was not the day that it was declared, it was 3 months later, and the entire period of the fighting of the war, according to Rav Goren, was actually the miracle. It was the whole time. So therefore, he says it doesn't have to be exactly on Hey Yar, if because of Chil Shabbos or other reasons you need to push it off by a day. For that reason also, that's perfectly fine. We'll see in a minute that that's not accepted by everybody, but that's what Rav Goren says. And again, that's generally what's followed today. And then he mentions also here that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk hirbal daber al kach sheyesh kiddush Hashem me'ein kamohu bekach shemedina Yisrael hechlita al haktamat hachag kedei limnoa chilul Shabbat. It's an amazing kiddush Hashem that the entire state of Israel changed their celebration of the day of the holiday, which again, you see in this country, is not so simple to change anything around here. It's very difficult, especially when it comes to religion. But the fact that everybody agreed to do this, to change the day because of Chilul Shabbos, is really, really an amazing thing and a tremendous kiddush Hashem. So that's what he says there. Just mention one other point before we wrap up this part. Rav Avadya Hadaya, the Yatskil Avdi, who was one of the Rebbeim of Rav Avadya Yosef, and is actually my brother-in-law, Rav Yair Hadaya from Eilat, who's Rav Yigal Hadaya's first cousin. So they're both. So he was there. I think it was their great uncle, the Yatskil Avdi, Rav Avadya Hadaya. So he has a whole tshuva about this in his sefer, Yatskil Avdi Chelak Vav, Tshuva Yud. And he accepts Yom HaTzmud also, okay? Meaning he's very in favor of Yom HaTzmud. He thinks it's a very important thing. But on this point, he disagrees, interestingly enough, okay? On this point, he says, it's a long piece, which I'm not going to read inside. But basically, what he says here is that for the very same reason that Rav Goren said that you can switch the day of Yom HaTzmud, that's the very same reason why he says that you can't allow the sphere restrictions to be released, interestingly enough. Basically, what he says is that because of the fact that there was a lot of pain and there was a whole war that was fought and there were a lot of people that were killed and the fact that it wasn't really a real day, meaning after they declared the victory, they declared the state on Hey Yar, you had a whole other war afterwards, he says you can't celebrate the day. Even if the day is important, and yes, Yom HaTzmud is an important idea, but when it's going to come face to face with the restrictions of Sfira, he feels that that day, the day of Hey Yar, is not important enough to actually allow you to shave and to have music and anything like that. He says here that, I'm just taking one part out here, there's a whole paragraph about this, I'm not reading the whole thing. One paragraph, he says, there were a lot of places where, there were a lot of places in the Arab world where, they were in danger. The day the state was declared, all the Jews in all the Arab lands were in big danger. And it's true. You know that, right? Okay. And then he says, in Eretz Yisrael specifically, he says that's when all the Arab nations declared war on us, on that day. Many people died on that day. What's the miracle on that day? How can we're the nace to establish Yom Tov and to permit shaving, arichat nisuin, and weddings, which, by the way, is another question we're not going to get into now. Some permit weddings on Yom HaTzmut, but that already, because it's a bit of a bigger deal, and there's other factors also when it comes to weddings. So most posts are not so into having weddings on Yom HaTzmut, but there are some that do allow it, and I think there are some weddings that do take place. In any case, so he says here, how can you just reject and override the avelut, the restrictions of sphere that have been accepted for many generations already? He says you can't just do that. And then he says here also there's something that some people had weddings on that day and then the marriage didn't work well. I don't know anything about that. He's out to scare you, I think. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, then he says that the bottom line is that the day of the declaration of the state, there was not any miracle that day, and therefore you can't have this.
Isn't the miracle itself of...
Hold on. Okay, yeah, correct. But he's just saying that the historical significance of the miracle on that day is not very big. And then, of course, he does say at the end, he says you can't just get away with doing nothing, because he says obviously the fact that God gave us our own state, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He says you have to have hodah, you have to be thankful for Hashem. What he's just saying, he says, ach lo lahafriz al midat kol kach, don't go too far to the extreme, which in his eyes means don't be lenient on the sphere restrictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. What's been accepted? The bottom line. Was it?
So no band.
That's what the Askalazi says.
So
okay.
So what does he say to celebrate it 2 months later?
No, he just says don't have any sphere restrictions. I mean, don't be making all the sphere restrictions. That's basically what he says. What's been accepted? Yeah.
Meaning celebrate, but keep
I mean, you should recognize, you should thank Hashem, maybe even say Hallel, even, but just not no sphere, just don't, you know, not don't be lenient on any sphere restrictions. No celebrations, no big parties with a lot of music, no shaving, etc., etc. What's been accepted? Bottom line. So the bottom line is, in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, among, again, the religious Zionist population, what's generally been accepted is that we are mekil about these things. However, as Rav Elmer Kavet pointed out this morning, and I have seen myself also, not everybody shaves on Yom HaTzmaut. Okay, despite the fact that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook said that you should, and it's, you know, it's whatever, but the bottom line...
Or you could.
I think he says you should. Some people say you can, and he says you should. So Rav Elmer Kavet pointed out, and... Yeah, exactly. You could trim it. It looks like it's this length or it's this length. You know, you can tell if somebody shaved or not. But what Rebbe kind of pointed out, and I think this is true, if you look around, that many people don't specifically shave on Yom HaTzmaut. But yet, most people in the religious Zionist community do allow themselves to go to listen to music and go to concerts and things like that. So I'll just mention one other suggestion, which is in the name of Rav Schechter, which is not, again, not so common in Israel in his name, but we know who he is, and he's, you know, a respected figure, and... The fact that what he said also makes a lot of sense in this context, which is the following. He said, I think it was based on Rav Soloveitchik, that even if you do recognize Yom HaTzmaut as a day, that the sphere restrictions maybe can be divided into two. Maybe you could be machmir on shaving and haircuts and be mekil on music. Why is that? So there's two reasons he says here very quickly. He says, number one, shaving is much earlier. Okay, shaving is already from the time of the Gaonim, not to shave. Music is much later. It's based on the idea of weddings, but the actual idea of not listening to music is a much later invention in terms of the poskim and when they say it. So maybe it would be machmir on shaving, and you could still be making a lot of music. And that's what I see, and not everybody, but many people I see today, by the way, this is what I do also. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but I'm just saying that it happens to be what I do. So machmir on shaving and music, maybe a little bit more mekil. Number two, he says maybe it's only things that have to do with the actual celebration. That would be mutter. So a celebration of music, that's actually part of the celebration. Shaving is nice, but it's not inherently related to the day. It's sort of like a side point. Again, that's debatable. You can argue at that point. For sure you could argue it. But that's just, that's apparently what Rav Schechter wanted to say. And just one last point, which I mentioned before, again, depending on how you feel about the day, the fact that the day was switched, you know, if you feel that the fact that the day was switched to be a different day, that may also be a factor to consider. Again, we mentioned before that many poskim still say that you can still celebrate Yom HaTzmaut on a different day, but that's another factor that some poskim say, well, maybe it's not quite as easy to be lenient as it would have been, so... You know, maybe that's another reason why almost every single time, you know, it falls out at a different day. If you want it to be machmir, at least on shaving specifically, there's definitely room for that chumrah as well, and maybe even room for a chumrah about celebrations. But again, the common custom in our communities is to be, as you just look outside, you see, common custom is to be makil on both points, and specifically in terms of music and celebrations, both on Yom HaTzmaut on Heiyar and also on Yom HaTzmaut when it's celebrated a little bit earlier or late. Okay, any questions on that one before we go to this part two? No?
Some people do like not live music.
Yeah. So again, it's another possibility. Again, the idea of live music is definitely more of a question than recorded music. If you wanted to go that route, you could definitely go that route. Again, there's definitely room for chumrah here. But again, if you walk outside and you want to go with your kids to, let's say, here or many other communities in Israel, it's usually live music. Mm-hmm. Not always, but it's often live music. So obviously, you couldn't use that leniency if you that stringency. I mean, if you wanted to do that. But it's definitely, there's definitely room for that chumrah as well. Again, especially out of the years that the day has changed. Which, even though, yes, I said before that, you know, in Israel it's basically accepted that we can switch the day, but it's not so simple in terms of the halachic, you know, sequence of how you get to that point. Because many of the sources that have to do with celebrating a day is because that day, you can't just switch the day however you want. But again, we mentioned what we said. I just mentioned also there's some rabbanim in America that until recently wanted to keep the day. Rav Gedalia Schwartz was one of them. Rav Schechter was another. both of them basically originally they wanted to say also you should only celebrate the day on the actual day, at least in Chutz Loretz where you're not really connected to the rest of Israel. And then at some point they sort of came around as the global village came a little closer and the people here started pushing on, pressing on them a little bit. So I think by now they've both come around and both of them would agree now that if they celebrate in Israel on a different day than even Chutz Loretz, they can follow the day in Israel. But again, you know, there's what to talk about here.
I mean, can you also argue that the more you are celebrating by dancing and music and you're sort of giving shevach to Hashem. It's not just,
for sure,
it's
for
not
sure,
just
right.
You know, being happy, but it's a
ruchani. Yeah, for sure.
It's like, right. You know, amplifying your ruchani response.
I think that's the whole basis for all those that are lenient about it. I think that's part of the basis for it. Exactly. I mean, the basis is that not just that sphera is overridden, but that the reason why you're doing it is because you're celebrating. You're celebrating the miracle that took place. So if you're not doing that, meaning put it this way. If you're going out to have a good time at Ben Yehuda, I don't know if you've ever been to Ben Yehuda on Yom HaTzmut, not quite the best, the nicest scene. If you're just going out there and you're just going to hear like, you know, very music which is very not in the spirit of celebration in a religious sense or in a Jewish sense, it's just sort of like have a good time, get drunk, and be crazy, so that I'm not sure if that would be included. I don't think that's what they had in mind here when they were saying that you can, you know, release your sphere restrictions. The idea of sphere to begin with was because we're mourning. So if we're going to be celebrating, we have to do it for a good reason, not in the context of just getting drunk and just being, you know, in the street with all the people that don't really know what they're doing. I think that's an important point that has to be remembered. Now, I'll mention one other point also before we go to the second part, and then he mentions also at the end of the Mar HaBazak Tshuva. B'chol ofen yesh lizkor ki avelut yemei ha-sfira nikba b'glal shel tzareinu. The days of sphere were established because, unfortunately, lo nagu kavod zeh v'zeh, the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't give honor and dignity to each other. Be very careful about having too much dispute of machloket. So kol ma'amatz, do as much as you can. She'esh ha-machloket lo titpashit ba'kila. And again, this was the answer to the kila in Memphis, Tennessee, but it's a message for us all as well, you know, that the fire of machloket should not spread through the community. You should therefore make sure that everything is done darchei noam, you know, explain well and nice. Today also, very, very true, because unfortunately we still have a lot of machloket about this day and about everything. You know, keep in mind that there may be some other people that feel differently than us than you, and be respectful of what they say, even if you have a different opinion. You know, that may be the message of the fact that this day it took place specifically during the time of the sphere, where everybody agrees that the sphere restrictions apply, because we're supposed to be remembering the students of Rabbi Akiva. If we get into fights and arguments and yell and scream, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing, they're celebrating in the wrong way, they said halal with a bracha, you said halal without a bracha, you did shave, you didn't shave, you know, you'd be a whole back and forth. You know, that's not the spirit of what we're supposed to be doing here. So that's a very, very important point to keep in mind. Okay. Any other comments before we move to part two? Okay. I think that's just because of where it took place. Meaning, it's not just the halachas are different. It's just the whole environment around you is different. I mean, you can't possibly celebrate it in Chutz Loretz the way you do here, because here it's just in the air. You walk outside, it's there.
But I wonder if that affects some of the halachas also.
It might. In theory, I don't know if it... I'm not sure. Meaning, in practice, I think maybe it does. In theory, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I mean, if you accept all the points we made, it shouldn't matter where it is. But at the same time, you know, because you're not right there, so in practice, it could be that it's not as celebrated in Chutz Loretz.
So someone who worked in the States and had to shave to go into the office, I don't shave on Yom HaTzmut because it's like an expression of freedom. Especially, you know, it's like
the opposite.
It's an amazing thing to live here.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, it's definitely true. And you get a day off from work. Yeah, yeah, come to Israel. Be part of the Center for the Jewish Future, as they say in Yeshiva University. Okay, so here's part two. Machshava-wise, in terms of the Hashkafa of Yom HaTzmut, so, you know, you can do a separate point for this one. It's a separate point, so we'll do it separately. Okay. Put it on my pass. Are you ready?